That does it for our show. Democracy Now! Is produced with Renee Feltz, Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Messiah Rose, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Tarasena, Tammy Warnoff, Tarina Nadura, Sam Alkoff, Tamari Astudio, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Hani Massoud, and Sanji Lopez. Our executive director is Julie Crosby. Special thanks to Becca Thaley, John Randolph, Paul Powell, Mike DiFilippo, Miguel Noguera, Hugh Grant, Dennis Moynihan, David Prude, and Dennis McCormick. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
And you're listening to WUSB Stony Brook, broadcasting at 90.1 FM and 107.3 FM, and over the internet on WUSB.FM. The time is 6 p.m. on a Tuesday evening, and that means, once again, it's time for Off the Wall. evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday evening, joined tonight by Kyle.
Indeed, right here, yeah.
Wow. It's a hot day today. For some reason, I'm feeling the effects of heat.
Warmer, yeah.
It's warmer. It's definitely getting warmer. So I guess we're doing this.
Yeah, I've noticed that insects are beginning to emerge. I believe this is their sweet spot for, like, activity beginning, commencing in visible ways. I'm talking gnats. I'm talking flies. I'm talking bumblebees. And everything across the board. They're out in force. Have you noticed?
No, I have noticed.
Any?
In fact, I've noticed inside the house, these big black ants are in certain rooms. They've gotten in. I don't know why. I don't know what's in the house that's not outside, because they have a much better time outside. I can tell you that. But they're kind of wandering around in circles, you know, on the floor, and they have to be escorted out most of the time. But yeah, you know, they don't really cause much of a. They don't really infest things. They just kind of get in the way.
Would you say it's like an expedition of sorts? Like
they're exploring. They're trying to find something, but
okay.
I don't know how they're getting in. I don't know why they're getting in, and I don't know the best way to get them, you know, to convince them to leave.
In like a gentle,
it happens,
orderly way.
It happens every year. You know, you get the big black ants running around. Usually it's later in the year, though. The small ants are the ones I don't like, because they're the ones that they come in a mob.
Uh-huh.
You know, and they start, they find, you know, like if you're unfortunate enough to drop a sugar cube on the floor, they'll find that, and they'll make a big deal out of that.
Of course.
And then sometimes you get the flies come and hang out for a while. You mentioned gnats. Have you ever seen gnats this early? I hate gnats. They get in your eyes. For some reason, they get in your eyes.
Very small, I don't know what, maybe they're fledgling mosquitoes that are going to get... emerge,
oh, that's no better.
Evolve and get larger, and so does,
ooh,
so as their life cycles.
It's malaria,
begin.
All kinds of nasty things.
Well, yeah, you stocked up on the tonic. Well, anyway, so the birds are out as well. I think because they're consuming, like they're
God,
and,
the
and
birds.
bats. You got to watch out at night.
You know what? The bats have never given me trouble, but what's going on with birds? And I'm sure people in this area will notice this. You're driving, especially on non-busy roads, and there's robins jumping in front of your car constantly on the road. You know, they have trees, they have fields, they have forests. They can go there, but instead they're in the street playing a game of chicken, which is a funny thing for a bird to do, with the cars and doing something on the ground. It's not just the robins. I don't want to just blame the robins. Blue jays, cardinals, blackbirds, they're all doing this. And
yeah.
For some reason, this time of year... They're in the road, and it's really, you have to slow, and it's good, you should slow down, but, you know, I there are so many of them.
Well, I think it coincides, it's sort of like the blooming of the different species of flowers, you're seeing more
but
of
not
those.
On the asphalt, I don't understand what's there for them.
No, they have their roots respectively off the road, but the point is there's also... other animals emerging, and including humans. There's a lot of people on the road. You got to drive very carefully. You never know what's going to be coming around the next bend. And, of course, people out there on the roads, be aware. There's crazy drivers around the next bend.
Seriously, I was talking to you about this the other day. We had passed yet another example of somebody who really should probably not leave the house, let alone be on the road behind the wheel of a vehicle. But, you know, I said, you know, if these people that we keep passing doing stupid things met themselves, they would die. it's that simple. Because, look, if you're barreling down a hill and you're a third of the way in the other lane, what do you think is going to happen when somebody's going the other way doing the same thing? I don't understand it. I really, you know, yellow lines, it was never an issue of dispute when I was a kid. We understood what it meant. Double yellow line, even a single yellow line. Yeah, we didn't need the double yellow line until the 70s. You know that, because it was to emphasize, because people weren't getting the single yellow line, the double yellow line. I'm making all this up, but the point is, people today don't seem to understand what a yellow line means. They just, you know, one of their tires is over the line, and that's all fine and good, until somebody else does the same thing going the other way. Don't they think this through? Is this some kind of a metaphor for society?
I don't think that's the thought, and therein lies what needs attention, and basically what ruins a really ideal, nice, picturesque, warm, sunny afternoon is an infraction, getting in trouble for driving erratically, or...
If you're lucky, you get in trouble.
Or
if not,
injury. Getting yourself or others injured in some kind of accident that you never thought would happen. So please be careful. It is, it's fun. There's a lot of people out and about. That's a good reason to be extra vigilant. Maybe double down on some of your observing and looking around and safety, because being cautious, it always pays. You never know what's going to be going on.
And just being maybe tested every now and then. Now, I'm in favor of taking a driving test every year. I know that sounds radical, but you really should have the same skills that you started out with. You should be able to do certain things and react in certain ways, and if it's good enough for airline pilots, it should be good enough for people who are passing your kids on the street constantly. We hear all these stories all the time, every day, of tragedies that could have been avoided so easily. Keep in mind, you know, you're going to open the paper tomorrow and you're going to read about some other person who lost their life due to some kind of accident and realize that person right now is alive. And that person right now is not expecting that's going to happen to them. And all throughout the country, it's a really down way to start the show, but it's just something I've noticed so much recently. And
well, I think it alters people's behavior in negative ways too, because people are afraid. They don't feel safe on the road. They can't go on a long distance cycling adventure or walk independently without being in a big group, or even in a big group. You know, the idea in these public roadways and areas is to enjoy public space for it to be accessible to the most amount of people in all forms of transportation, and to be afraid and discouraged from engaging in those spaces and think that, you know, automobile drivers and other larger entities on the road are not going to be vigilant and looking out for you. It goes a long way, I think, and to have like respect for how many different things are going on the roadways. You have all different types of vehicles and more people being active, as well as all the animals.
And that's the irony, because we're talking about a decline in the overall skill of motor vehicle operators, the number of accidents and stupidity that's out there. But
also
there's a rise in appreciation for things like bicycles and walking and just being out there. So you have both things kind of meeting each other in a very unpleasant way. And we really have to address this and fix this, because, you know, it can't go on in this manner. It's just horrible.
And there's also a lot of construction that goes on at this time of year. Good construction, making more signals and lighted, raised sidewalks and stuff. That's going on right now. There's areas being connected, more pathways. That's all good, but you also have people working at all hours doing, you know, rerouting, so you have to be attentive to that too. So it's a big issue, and, you know, if you want all those improvements, you have to put up with some of the changes and temporary difficulties of it. But that only allows more of all these different things to interact safely. So, I mean, big up to civil engineering. So that's it's positive, but, you know, got to be aware. Lots going on.
And, you know, I think it's all of our responsibilities to protect the other people on the road as well. Not just ourselves, not just people in our cars, but, you know, if you see somebody in a potential bit of danger, you either yield so that they get through something safely, you know, that they might not belong in the intersection right now, but they're there, so let's make sure that they get home tonight, or just improving the mood of people. Like if you wave somebody by or let a pedestrian cross or do all kinds of other kind things, you basically put them in a better frame of mind. They're more likely to make better decisions and treat other people nicely as well. It's, you know, they say courtesy is contagious. It is. It can be. And I know, Kyle, you try when you're behind the wheel to be as nice to the people around you as possible. We went all the way around the country and not in a direct line. We went a circuitous route a couple of years ago. through small towns, through big towns, and didn't have to blow our horn once. And we were not honked at once either, I don't think. So that is pretty amazing. And it's not hard to do either.
No, and you can still reserve your judgment. I mean, I definitely am critical and so forth, and of course make my fair share of mistakes on the roadway, like anybody who's learning, who's been driving, who maybe hasn't been on the road as much. All of that, you know, should be taken into account. So I'm, you know, I try to just be as patient as possible, but I get as ticked as anything when people are, as anybody, as when people are inconsiderate or they're unobservant and I don't know, unkind.
Sometimes it's fun to watch, and hope for the best, but there are certain intersections. There's one I'm thinking of in particular in Port Jefferson, which is just to the east of us, that is, there's an intersection there where Route 25A makes a 90-degree turn to the south, and the road continues straight, but it's no longer a state route. So what you have is you have a flashing red light for that road, the road that it's hard to even describe. It's called West Broadway, and then it's called East Broadway. But if you want to stay on 25A heading east, you actually make a right-hand turn and start heading south. Okay, so it's a T intersection, basically. And the people at the top of the T have flashing red lights, but the people going in the middle have a flashing yellow light, which means they have right-of-way. Nobody seems to know this. It's incredible, especially the people with the flashing yellow light. You'd think they would know they have right-of-way, but oftentimes they stop and wait for the people who have the flashing red light to go, even though they don't have right-of-way. So it leads to all kinds of confusion. And if you do it right, if you're going straight through the T, you have the flashing red light, and you should wait there until everybody who's going through the flashing amber light goes through. They all have right-of-way. If you do that, you're going to anger the person behind you who will start blasting their horn because they think that you're being stupid and you're just letting people go and they have no right-of-way, which they do. It's a fascinating intersection to watch. Nobody has been able to figure out how to make that intersection work in decades. I have theories, you know, I've written essays about it, but I don't think anyone's going to listen. And, you know, tourists come to Port Jefferson, all the time, thousands of tourists throughout the year. And, I imagine it's for the intersection they're coming. I can't think of any other reason why they would come. But just to watch what's going on there, to see how people interact with each other, and you learn a lot. You learn a lot. And I'm sure there's an intersection like that near all of our listeners someplace.
Please write us if you have
a
fun story about driving or otherwise transporting yourself and others with you in time and space. It's always a joy. So OTW at 2600.com.
That's right. We want to hear your stories, and maybe we'll read them on the air as well. You ever get that guy behind you, though, in the pickup truck who is tailgating and is really impatient and is, you know, going to the left and the right, and he's got that huge American flag somewhere and, you know, the BAB bumper sticker and just angry, always angry. You can't figure out why. Always impatient, always needs to be somewhere else other than where he is right now. And he's always right behind you. You ever have that guy right behind you?
Yeah, sometimes not always a guy, but yeah.
Well, this time it is. His name is Bruce Blakeman. He's the Nassau County executive, and he was elected a couple of years ago. And this guy is an imbecile. I'm sorry, he is. He's an imbecile, and he's one of these people.
Certified?
You just know he has, you know, some kind of massive vehicle that's intimidating, and he's going to honk his horn behind you and be blinded by an American flag that's waving in front of him. But recently he has sent a clear message about, you know, these asylum seekers, these nasty asylum seekers from the South that are coming into our country, that dare to come into our country as if we were some kind of a bastion for immigrants. He said this on his Facebook page during a press conference Monday morning and probably shouted from his pickup truck at some point, that Nassau County, which he is the county executive of, Nassau County will not be participating in sanctuary programs. It is not responsibility of local government. It is a responsibility of federal government to have a national policy. to invite people in who are undocumented, not knowing who they are or why they are here. I think it is very faulty and something we do not endorse in NASA. Okay, moron. Where do I begin? First of all, you know the country you're in. Maybe go back in your tree, or wherever that happens to be, and see how your ancestors got here. Were they undocumented at some point? I'll bet they were. And, sure, there should be a federal policy. There is a federal policy of some sort. You might not agree with it, but there is a system in place. And, yeah, it could definitely be better. But right now, that's not your concern. Your concern is, what do you do with the county that somehow you wound up in charge of? And I think number one on the list should be treating people fairly. And not treating only people who have documented birth certificates. All people. People from Suffolk County. People from Queens. People who are just trying to get through Nassau County as quickly as possible. All those people need to be treated fairly and with compassion. And to hear somebody who is the alleged leader talking with this kind of hatred, it's disgusting. Of course, it's no surprise, because that's who you were when you ran, and for some reason, more people embraced you in Nassau County than anyone else. But this is something typical. It's something that Long Island is unfortunately becoming known for. And it's just sad because, you know, these people who are trying to get here, why don't we ask the question, why do so many people want to leave their homelands? Not just here in Europe and Asia and various other parts of the world. People are fleeing horrible regimes. Why don't we do something about those places? Oh, I know. It's not our responsibility. But it kind of is, because we're all citizens of the world. And if part of the world is falling apart and we don't do anything about it, our part will fall apart as well. It will happen. So, you know, we have to take care of each other. Just like on the road, we have to take care of each other in one way or another. Now, the answer isn't everybody fleeing their homelands, obviously, because then you have no homeland left. But you need to help improve things so that people don't want to run away. And I don't see us doing enough as far as that goes. And that's something we should all be interested in, because it affects us. Now, as far as the actual people who are here now, well, apparently they're going through the system. They're doing everything right. They're filling out the right forms, and they're showing up for their court dates. So what is the problem? What is the complaint here? What is the concern? What is the worry? We don't have enough people to work the jobs that we believe we need in order to keep our economy going. Hey, here's an answer. You have all these people who are eager to work, who want to be a part of this country. Why don't we let them? Why don't we help them? Why don't we welcome them? Instead, you got the Bruce Blakemans of the world yelling at them, trying to scare them into not coming to his county. It's not Kentucky. It's New York. Let's be a little bit compassionate here. We really, really need to do better. And, you know, the funny thing is, everybody was freaking out over Title 14. Did I have it right? Is it right? Title
42.
42. What's Title 14?
Now they're using Title 8.
This is why I get confused. Title 42, okay.
Yeah, that was the medical emergency.
I should have known. The meaning of life, yeah. Yeah, for some reason, COVID was still a thing for immigrants, but not for anybody else. Finally, that nonsense ended, and it expired, and now people can come into the country or apply to come into the country just like they were able to under Trump. Imagine that. And everybody is freaking out over it, saying, oh, my God, we're going to be overwhelmed. The media went ballistic. All the media went ballistic. And so many people in government and in politics were freaking out about this, saying that there's no system in control. We're going to have so many people. It's going to be an invasion. It's everything's over. It's done. We're finished. And what happened? 50% of the normal crossing. It went down by 50%, which tells me nobody knows what the hell is going on. They don't understand their own systems. So this is clearly a manageable situation in need of improvement. All right? But there are so many human beings involved here, and we purport to be a country that cares about individuals, cares about the downtrodden masses. Well, here they are. Let's do what we're known for. And don't let the Bruce Blakemans of the world speak for you.
Yeah, and like stop dumping people at the Port Authority bus terminal as a welcome.
Yeah, you know, I'm starting to have mixed feelings about this because I don't think it's fair for, I don't know if this is true, but if the communities, if the cities, if even the states along the border are being expected to pay for everything, that's not right. It should be shared. It definitely should be shared, but people should not be used as pawns, you know? Individual people should not be simply transported to a democratically run or a democratic run city because somebody in Texas or Florida doesn't like those people.
Well,
that's not right.
In an uncooperative way, mm-hmm. like entirely. It's not the way, and there are plenty of like facilities and places where people can be processed and engaged with like by a system that is going to accommodate their rights.
Right.
Under these programs.
But this should be a federal thing. Definitely should be as far as expense, as far as coordination. So I don't know if this is true, but if the bulk of the expense is falling upon local governments, that's clearly not right. That's clearly not right. Doesn't mean you can just ship people wherever you feel like as if they were some kind of parcel. Let's share the responsibility here, and it is a responsibility.
And if there was a implementation that people agreed upon and we got past this instead of using it as a something that we can just kick the can and just keep continuing to recycle as a hot button issue, instead of actually talking about anything else, it's just a whole lot of blame and finger wagging. Where all the points you raise are valid and many of the critiques of the immigration system have validity, but there's no sense in continuing to use it politically, because if we spent as much time on the myriad of other things, I think it would be a lot less impactful. It wouldn't matter as much because we would have had an organized system, a way for handling it and for understanding it across the board, but the discourse, the actual plan and technical implementation has to just happen. We have mm-hmm. to decide that this is who we are and that we've other business to look at instead of accusing everyone and talking about how much of a problem it is.
Yeah, I just wish we were more of the mindset where, you know, we are welcoming newcomers because we need the help, you know. All around me, I see places that can't stay open late anymore. You know, after the pandemic, they can't get the help they need. Especially in New York City, you know, the city that never sleeps, or the city kind of sleeps now, you know. After midnight, it's a challenge to find food that doesn't come from a bodega or someplace. That never used to be the case. And if you had people, I'm not saying, you know, pay people slave wages or anything like that. I'm saying if people are willing to do the jobs that people here don't want to do for a fair wage, then why don't we do that? Because there certainly would be the market for it. There certainly would be a lot of customers, and the entire economy would benefit that way.
Yeah, well, and there would be more late night activity because more people would be working and mm-hmm. Having different rotating shifts and so forth. And it does matter, like that liveliness. If everything
yeah, yeah.
just shuts down, you can't substantiate that as a small business owner who would support it, like
I just don't, a
restaurant or something.
I don't get why this isn't a priority. I know they come from a different country. Maybe that's all it takes for them to, you know, for the powers that be to not want to do this because they don't look like us. But we really need to get past that. We really do. Okay, moving on. Long Island's first licensed cannabis delivery service opened for pre-orders today at 4:20 p.m. Wow, that just happened. That just happened 2 hours ago. Okay, Osbert Orduna officially opened his cannabis business on Wednesday. Okay, but for some reason, you know, pre-orders. Okay, maybe this is last week, but no, the story came over. Yeah, I don't know. This is so confusing. The way things are written on the net these days. It's dated today, updated 15 minutes ago. But they're referring to Wednesday as if it already happened. Anyway, okay, so anyone who wants to get cannabis delivered to their homes must figure out what this story is saying first. They have to upload a photo ID on the company website proving they're 21 or older. When the driver drops off the order, they check the ID again. You're then given a brief quiz of history for the period in which you were a child, and you must pass that. No, that's not believable. Okay.
Life story.
The website shows a list of items like cannabis flower, vapes, and edibles that have gone through independent testing. And, of course, there's many levels of security inside the car. Which,
by your driver on the way over?
I don't think we need to go into all the security they have in the car. Anyway, New York has issued about 36 licenses to open shops on Long Island. And how many have launched yet? Zero. Zero have launched yet. The state is finding it hard to secure storefronts. You know why the state is finding it hard to secure storefronts? Because the towns and villages have made it so crazy and impossible. You can't be hundreds of feet away from a church or from a hair salon or from a roller skating rink or God knows everything they pick. There's no space left. You know, you have to like dig underground or just be in the middle of the Long Island Sound or something. I don't understand all these restrictions as to where a place where you can't even smoke has to be, whereas bars can be anywhere. There are bars next to bars. It doesn't matter. Nobody cares. Anyway, so now you can get it delivered at least. The Cannabis Place is what it's called. Hopefully it's the first of many. Hopefully they get their act in gear so that we can actually benefit from the advantages of legalization, as we've talked about for many years.
Yes, and I'm sure it'll evolve into something like automated and even more involved and mature in terms of growth. Mm-hmm. But I think it takes time. Even just ordering, I think that would take a little getting used to if you'd been acquiring cannabis flower and other products in other ways. It's, you know, having someone you don't know come by, you know, it depends on your situation and availability. Not everybody can just sort of be at home at all hours waiting.
Well, I think they give you a time. I don't think it's, they just show up whenever. But
yeah,
I wonder
how late, you know, if it says, and what how they'll change and kind of modify their business around the way people use it as mm-hmm. well. Because, it takes some adjustment, and with this little retail, maybe they'll have, like, a nice sweet spot in the market until anything visible emerges in different towns.
It'll keep getting easier, that's for sure, and the towns and villages that have opted out will eventually opt in when they see how advantageous it is. And the other thing the story from News 12 didn't mention is that there is, in fact, at least one dispensary in the town of Southampton, which is native run, not subject to sales tax, you know, that's something that I think is the Shinnecock Reservation is running that. We'll be running more. That's, you know, fascinating in and of itself, but extremely beneficial as well.
And there are more locations elsewhere that we're going to keep following and sharing with people mm-hmm. as this changes, because those towns, and they may restructure how they look at it or take a second look at models that have come about that are kind of you know, looking a lot better than what they had imagined it would be.
It's just so silly though, the way this is being done. It should be legalized nationally, like Canada did. Right now, we have this bizarre situation where you can buy pot legally in, say, Massachusetts or New Jersey or New York, but you can't drive directly from one of those states to another with cannabis, because that's illegal. Crossing the state lines of two states where it's legal is illegal. I don't know how they would catch you, but ridiculous things like that are what's holding us back. And also, you know, the difficulty of being able to use the money that you are making in the federal banking system, it's just it's unnecessary hindrances that I hope we get past.
And there's a lot more. I mean, medical patients, people that are growing, people that, you know, all of that's going to emerge this year, and as well as how the sort of hemp industry, how they calculate things, and there's THCA and the like CBD stuff. It's a little bit wild when you think about it. There's so much variation. You got to really know what kind of things you're looking at, what kind of place you're in, and educate yourself as much as possible, and be safe out there.
Yes, definitely. Here's another story that's a little bit uplifting, a little bit. A House Democrat has started the process of forcing a floor vote on a resolution to expel Representative George Santos from Congress. Took this long? This just happened today? Representative Robert Garcia, who represents the 42nd District of California, introduced the resolution on the House floor Tuesday afternoon. Shouldn't it have been locally introduced? Shouldn't it have been one of our own who did this?
Well, they're not so pleased with him.
No,
locally,
they're not.
There aren't a lot of good things being said.
We have the Zeldin replacement, Lalota. He should have done that. He's already called for him to resign, so why not? Are these people really so afraid that if another election is called, this is how it works, if you get rid of somebody in the House of Representatives, nobody's appointed, another election is called, and the seat is vacant until that election happens. Are they afraid that they're going to lose that election? They very well might. So is that really a just reason for keeping somebody that's so corrupt and is so full of lies in office? Because it makes you look bad, too.
Well, I also would caution, who am I to be sort of a knowledgeable political fortune teller here? But it seems to me it would be a bad, bad look if he runs and loses, like, just wholly because of all of this.
Oh, he will.
And yeah, but if he's committed to running, he'll dilute anything they challenge him with, but he'll also could potentially risk them that entirely for a full term even
mm-hmm.
later,
mm-hmm.
after a presidential. I don't know when it fits in the cycle, but so you got to wonder, would they rather maybe starting, like, with a clean deck, like, okay, let's start over, reshuffle here, put somebody up, have a fair election and in earnest, get someone in there with a clean slate, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a better risk, right?
Yeah, I think that's the only fair way to do it. Just kick the guy out, have another election as soon as possible, and have whoever gets elected serve out the term, which is only another year and a half before this all happens again, take it from there. And at least, you have some integrity to point to. Because right now, Republicans have no integrity if they leave this guy in and treat him like he's legitimate. He is not. Now, if this were a senator, it would be different. A senator gets kicked out or dies or just is no longer in office, the replacement is appointed by the governor. In this case, it would be Kathy Hochul, Democrat, so it would be a Democratic a senator until the next election is held, but not in the House of Representatives. House of Representatives, it's vacant until another election happens. So, it seems like if they do a good job, they could get the seat back. They could keep the seat, but I don't know. The longer they do this, the worse for them.
Yeah, I just can't imagine, with charges, how are you putting this candidate up, and what is he telling you to be like, yeah, I got this. You got this? Like, how? 13 counts? How many counts? Like, what? Are you for real? No, that's exactly why you have this. You're not. they're on to you, guy.
Yeah, it would appear so. Okay, well, Let's talk about something a little bit happier, all right?
I'll try.
Within the last week, since we did our show last week until now, Kyle and I got involved in something that we got involved in last year as well. We totally forgot about it. Eurovision. Something we don't do here in this country, something we're not even aware of in this country. But it happens in Europe, and it's really awesome. Now, it's basically, it's kind of like the World Cup, except it's music. It's a competition. Every country has a song, and basically there are two semifinals where a bunch of teams, that's artists are eliminated, and then there's a final. The final took place on Saturday, And everyone performs their songs. You can watch the videos of every song. There are 37 of them this time. Since last week, I just watched all 37 videos. They're no more than 3 minutes each. And I watched them a second time. And by that point, after watching them twice, they were in my head. And I was actually learning things about how this particular song came to be and what it means, and just some really awesome video displays of various sorts. Such inclusion, such activism, things that I don't really see in today's music here. Not enough, anyway.
I was like, this community exists. Wait, oh, yeah, that's a thing. It's there it is.
Uh-huh.
Wow, that is really refreshing right now.
Yeah, you had all kinds of anti-war messages. You had all kinds of inclusion. Just give an example, the Croatian video was basically all about these dictators taking over and then walking around in dresses and it's just really, you have to watch it. It's all on YouTube. Just Eurovision 2023, go through every one of them. And, you know, a lot of the music is not my style. Some of it is kind of corny. But some of it is really, really rocking, dare I say.
It's edgy.
Yeah.
And dare I say, too taboo for you.
Well, maybe. You know what? I want to play Germany's selection. Because they didn't win, but it was a great song and a great video.
And you have to understand there is video visuals that they accompany this with. There's costume, there's dance, there's all these other elements. But just, and even language, like, you may not understand the words to a lot of this stuff, but just take it with the music. That's where I like to go. Just, what is the tone? What are they conveying in this song?
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to figure out how to play it.
That's how I try to, like, prepare myself. Because they each, you have to kind of consider them in their own context. And this is even, I guess, more appropriate because it's like the blindfold test. This is radio. This is the medium you're most apt to hear some of this stuff if you're not following it and a big fan already.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so this is the perfect medium to try it out and see what it conjures up. What are you seeing? What do you hear?
Yeah, everyone realizes that a couple of spoilers are coming, by the way. Everyone realizes that ABBA, the group ABBA, came about through Eurovision 50 years ago this year. Yeah, so that's kind of interesting. Someone was talking about numerology 50 years ago, and the winner of this year's contest was, again, Sweden. So that was pretty incredible. But it doesn't all sound like ABBA. There's all kinds of different sounds, different approaches. But it's mostly that spirit, that happiness, just that getting together once a year. And what happens is the winner hosts the next year's competition. Last year, Ukraine won with the Kalush Orchestra, a song that we've played here on this show, which meant that they got to host this year's competition. Of course, with the war going on, wasn't safe to do that. So the competition wound up in Liverpool, England. And I got to say, the way Liverpool pulled out all the stops for Ukraine, you know, they were hosting it, but they never lost sight of the fact that they were hosting it on behalf of Ukraine. Ukrainian flags everywhere in Liverpool, people just sending messages of support in so many ways. You know, kids getting involved, old people. That's the beauty of it. That's what brings people together. And all of that I learned in less than a week. So I thought that was really incredible. Anyway, let's listen to the German song, which is called Blood and Glitter here on Off the Wall.
Blood and glitter, sweet and bitter, we're so happy we could die. Choice, a promise to ourselves, we are die. Blood and bitter, sweet and bitter, we're so happy we could die. Blood and bitter, saint and sinner, we do for thee for we rise. Now go, go,
let your love
flow, flow, with broken wings we learn to fly. We are blood and glitter. Keep your head up in the clouds. We're 2 feet on the ground. Life's too fast, so make it count. Never forget, let it go. That's all there's no need to know. Whether above or below, we are all from the same blood. Blood and glitter, sweet and bitter, we're so happy we could die. Blood and glitter, we could die. Blood and glitter, sweet and bitter, we're so happy we could die. Blood and glitter, saint and sinner, we do for before we rise. Now go, go,
let your love
flow, flow, with broken wings we learn to fly.
We are blood and glitter, blood and glitter.
Oh, yeah, don't ever tell me that Eurovision is corny. This was incredible. There are some metal acts there that put others to shame, I think.
Yeah, I think this could easily be like a rock opera about burlesque or like, late night clubs and, the life of a performer, and I could see this being, live action.
Uh-huh.
And telling a story of backstage.
It's Lord of the Lost is the name of the group, and Blood and Glitter. And even in that song, there was a message about all the blood comes from the same place. We all have the same blood. And it really was indicative of how there's so much variety in this particular competition.
Yeah, in seriousness, the song writing, I find you have to get in that mode because it's universal. So they're trying to convey something very specific, but be as kind of broad as possible. And that's kind of the beauty. You can read into different things or not, and that keeps it focused and fit to the actual musicality going on as well and complement it. So, that was intense. That was a good one.
I want to play just a little bit of a song by someone named Alika from Estonia. It's called Bridges, because, Kyle, you had a particular observation. We're going to play it up to the point where you make the observation. The Estonian entry to Eurovision.
I've died. Bring me to the place where I belong, filled with all the memories and dreams I have ignored.
Okay, that's it. You want to tell us? What was your first impression when you heard that?
I'm just so convinced this is a car commercial. You would hear this for like some giant SUV, and that's right, when you crest some roadway in a starry desert. I don't know. I could just totally see it. There's fabric and yeah.
So to off the wall listeners, here's the challenge. We can't pay attention to every car commercial that comes out in the next year or two, and we'll probably forget about this too as well. But if you monitor airwaves and you hear that particular, what do you call that, stinger, just that melody or just that sound.
It's a hook.
It's a hook.
It's like a blemish or embellishment.
If you hear that, write to us, otw@2600.com, and tell us, hey, I found it. It's in this particular commercial, and you'll win some kind of a prize, guaranteed.
I only half joke, too, because a lot of this stuff, you'll hear it. You'll hear it in clubs. You'll hear it, you know, radio airplay. It will reemerge whether they won or not. I mean, these are popular things from different parts of the world. If you travel or if you're watching and consuming media from other parts of the world, this will be part of the diet this year. And that's kind of what I like. It's sort of emerging stuff. If you don't follow from different places, you can really get put onto great stuff.
And by the way, you know, we have a show here on WUSB that's all about Eurovision. It's called some
Meanwhile in Europe.
Meanwhile in Europe, that's it. So, hosted by Emma Backfish. It's on alternate Saturdays, 6 to 8 p.m. And you can learn so much. You can learn so much about this whole culture.
Totally. Check that out next weekend.
I don't know which weekend it is.
I don't know if it's alternating or regular, but I do know that probably the next show will be a recap of Eurovision, and it would be an excellent thing if you want to hear more of this and more coverage in general.
I want to play one more thing, though, before we leave tonight, from Czechia, which is what the Czech Republic is now called. And this is another example of just the variety and all kinds of cultural contributions to the Eurovision contest. This track is called My Sister's Crown. It's an awesome video. Again, all the videos are on YouTube, and it's something that really winds up sticking in your head. So without further ado, from Czechia.
You can take your hands back. No one wants your choices. We are not your dogs.
All right, and that is the entry from Czechia at Eurovision this year. You know, I like to think if anybody out there is turned on to the variety of music that is being represented at this competition now, it'll be so beneficial to know that other people are now listening. This should be on radio in the States. These songs are all very catchy. They all stuck in my head. I couldn't get them out. And they're so uplifting and different. And I'd like to think that it'll inspire more musicians. You know, when I was a kid, every song stuck in my head. And the same thing happens here. And it happens within a week. 37 songs I was able to memorize.
Yeah. Certainly, and the messages, the sentiment, I think it can be absent in a lot of popular stuff, and you only will hear little glints, little pieces of it in sort of mixed media and out in different environments where you'll catch it, just a bit of it, but it doesn't get as much attention. But you can catch it here on WUSB. And online at WUSB.fm.
We are out of time. Of course, we're going to go out with one more song from Eurovision, this one from Albania. And what's cool about this is that it's a song that's done by somebody named Albina Kelmendi and her entire family, her mother, her father, her brothers, her brother, her sisters, all took part in this. Again, check out the videos, Eurovision 23 on YouTube. Listen to Emma Backfist's show on alternate Saturdays, 6 to 8 p.m. here. Stay tuned for Finn coming up next. Write to us, otw@2600.com, and listen to the music from Albania. Good night.
Oh, yeah.